Okay, we're at the very end of Perek Chaf Gimel. And I think we're up to Pasuk Chafav, Chaf Zayin. Where again, it is like a father speaking to a son. Which is that throughout the book of Mishle, we have that relationship. Again, it's interesting. On one hand, it's literally father to son. It also is Rebbe to Talmud. And it also is HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us. Right? So the father, who the father is, has all these different meanings. And Tana B'ni Libcha Li, give your heart to me, V'yeinecha, and your eyes, Jerachai Titzorana, shall guard, shall watch my ways. Now, there are two ways you understand this pasuk. Is the pasuk telling the son to do two things? Is the pasuk saying, do A and B? Or is the pasuk saying, if you do A, you will be rewarded by B? The first way of learning is that the son, which is us, is commanded to do two things. Give your heart to Hashem, meaning serve Hashem with all of your heart, not superficially. A person can do mitzvos, can go through the motions, but his heart and his soul is not really serving Hashem. So commandment number one is, give your heart to Hashem. And commandment number two is, let your eyes see the right way to serve Hashem. Now, these are two different things. You know, there are many people who might say, I believe in God, I love God, I revere God, but I just don't like these halachas. They're too detailed, you know. Why does Hashem care if I read Shema before 8 o'clock or after 8 o'clock? I mean, why does that make a difference? And the like. Indeed, this was the criticism of early Hasidus by the Vilna Gaon, the Nefesh HaChaim. The Nefesh HaChaim writes, the Nefesh HaChaim was not as harsh as the Gra, although Chaim V'Leshner was the Gra's Talmud. The Gra literally put charamim, excommunication, all sorts of things. Rav Chaim V'Leshner and the Nefesh HaChaim, now he doesn't use the word Hasidim, because first of all, it wasn't so clear they were called Hasidim in those days. I mean, Hasidim was a name that came a little later. But he calls them Mevakshei Hashem, and you may not know this when you read that he sometimes gives Musar to those who are Mevakshei Hashem. So you don't know who he's talking about. He's talking about Hasidim. That's specifically what he's talking about. And he talks about, but he calls them Mevakshei Hashem, those who seek Hashem. And he says that they very much believe, correctly so, that one needs to serve Hashem not just externally, but with fear of Hashem, meaning awe, and love of Hashem, and devekus, and when they do mitzvos, they try to have devekus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Rav Chaim V'Leshner says there is sometimes a danger in emphasizing devekus, because at some point a person might feel that the details of halacha are a contradiction. They undermine devekus. And he gives an example. Let's say a person is very, very tired. So if you're going to get up and you have to read, let's say, Seif Zman Kriya Shema, let's say, is early. Whatever it is, 7 o'clock, whatever it might be. In Europe, it might be 6 o'clock, 6 a.m. sometimes. So a person says, you know, I can get up and I can say Shema on time, but it's going to be tired, without kavana, without passion, without feeling. Isn't it better for me to sleep until 9 o'clock? And then I have kavana. Isn't that what it's about? You know, and Chaim V'Leshner says, it might be, a person might even say, why should I eat matzah on Pesach? I'm not in the mood yet. By Rosh Hashanah, I'll be in the mood. I'll make a kabbalah to say. So the answer is that the devekas has to be leading you in the direction of serving Hashem. So that's exactly, if you learn the pasuk is an A and a B, that is exactly the A and the B. Give your heart to Hashem. Serve Hashem with love and with fear and with devekas. But at the same time, keep your eyes open to look at the derech that Hashem wants you to walk on. Meaning, you may have all your own ideas about how to become spiritual and how to become connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So really, it's a double warning. Meaning, on one hand, following in the ways of Hashem is not enough. You must give your heart to Hashem. Right? That's also a message. A person might be from, but it's primarily chitzonius. But at the same time, the panemius is not enough either. The Zohar HaKadosh actually has a beautiful way of describing it. It describes Ava and Yira as the wings that carry the bird up to Shemayim, meaning the mitzvos are the bird itself, the body of the bird itself. So if all you have is a pair of wings, the wings can't fly either, right? The wings enable the mitzvah to go all the way up to Shemayim, but you have to do the mitzvah. You have to do the mitzvah properly. So this would be the understanding of the pasuk in an A and a B, meaning to say that the father, it's Hashem or Rebbe or your literal father, is telling you two things in Avodas Hashem. Give your heart to Hashem and follow Hashem's ways. Because these are two different things. Yeah. Now, the other way of learning is that the second half of the Pasuk is a divine promise. Meaning, if you give your heart to Hashem, then Hashem will enable your eyes to discover the right way to worship Him. In other words, this is a getter of a sechar. According to this, Jirachai does not refer to doing the mitzvot. I don't need a special bracha to know what the mitzvot are. I know what the mitzvot are. But Jirachai refers to the deeper ways you serve Hashem, which are not always known to us. But we, you know, what is my mission in life? What is my goal in life? What am I supposed to do with myself? So the pasuk is saying that even though you start off not knowing, but if you truly give your heart and soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He will give you the bracha that your eyes will know the derech to find Hashem. But you see, it's two different nuances here. The first way is do A and B, or B A and B, B E A and B. And the second idea is if you're A, then Hashem will give you the gift of B, right? So there are two ways of learning it. The Gra actually learns the second way, that if a person serves Hashem with all of his heart, Hashem will put him on the derech of his life, right? This is why, you know, a person's often confused, right? Where do I go in life? What do I do with my life? Why am I here? Yeah, we know we're here to do mitzvahs, but mitzvahs is kind of the common destiny or the common job of everybody. But then a person has to know, what is the unique thing I'm supposed to do? And sometimes you don't know, right? We don't know. We often don't know. But the promise is, if you try to serve Hashem with all of your heart, He will give you an insight into what you're supposed to, is supposed to do. Okay. Now the pasuk then emphasizes the negative, pasuk chapsayin, kishucha amuka zayna. Ube'er tzara nachriya. So it seems to be a bit of a non sequitur here. A zayna is a prostitute, and nachriya is a foreign woman. Now, again, if you remember from earlier in Mishlei, particularly the beginning prakim, there's a lot of talk about going after foreign women and how they could be your downfall and being unfaithful to your wife, etc. And obviously, they are meant literally. But they're also meant in terms of leaving the Torah, leaving the path of the Torah, etc. Now, the Gra here makes an interesting comment. First of all, he points out that the negatives that the Zon and the Nachri are described are really working in two different dimensions. Shucha Amuka means a deep pit. Be'er Tzara is a narrow well. In other words, there are two methods of confinement here. There is the vertical, you're in deep trouble. And then there's the horizontal confinement where you don't have a lot of room, you're narrow, you can't even move. So the Gra, Kedarkai Bakaydesh, wants to explain what is the difference in terms of message between the deep pit and the narrow well, and what is the difference between Zona and Nachriya. If both are referring to women you're not supposed to be with, right? So again, he shows that this is not just a repetition of the same thoughts twice, but rather, and again, this is, he said much of this before as well, That is, if you remember, the Gra said consistently that the two primary Yetzer Haras that we have are what are called Kasani V'Tavani. Kasani is the Yetzer Hara of anger, and Tavani is the Yetzer Hara for Taiva. And he says all of the different things that we do can be subsumed. So, for example, Radifa Achar Kavot. See, Kas is basically the idea that if I'm not getting what I think it belongs to me, I get angry. So anger stems from egotism, power, control. So the sins that involve power, control, really come from the anger aspect, because anger is frustration when you don't get that control. So murder would often be an expression of kas. Taiva, the Gra says, really comes from laziness, just to be inertia. But then he says, in Taiva, we really have two parts, in which one aspect is connected to Kas. And that is, he differentiates between Taiva and Chemda. He says, Taiva is an indulgence in the physical pleasures of the body, whether it be eating, sleeping, excessive, intercourse with not in the right way, etc. That is called Taiva. Taiva is to indulge the physical pleasures of the body. Chemda is when you go out to make a lot of money, etc. It's almost the opposite of laziness. Taiva is the guy that stays home to watch videos. Chemda is the person who travels to do mergers and acquisitions and become a billionaire. Now, a Baal Taiva, and again, we use the word Taiva not in the way the Gra uses it, but a Baal Taiva, the dominant mida is one of laziness and inertia. The Baal Chemda is into power and control. So in a sense, although we would normally connect making a lot of money, we would call that Taiva, it actually is more connected, Chemda is more connected to Kas, or maybe it's a combination of Taiva and Kas, meaning the primary Yetzaharas are Tavani and Kasani, but then there's pure Taiva, and then there's Chemda, which is a Mamutza. Chemda is kind of an intermediate amalgamation of Taiva and Chemda. Now, based on this, the Gra said the following before. The Gra said that both Taiva and Chemda are referred to as foreign women. But Chemda is called a Zona, and Taiva is called a Nochria. And the reason he gives for that is an interesting point. A Zaina is a prostitute, but at least she's Jewish. A Nachriya is a Goyan. So he says, our relationship to Chemda, Chemda is not necessarily all bad. In other words, if Chemda refers to that notion of energetically going around making business deals and making money, number one, that is necessary. Number two, that can be done for a very good purpose, for tzedakah, right? Rosh Hashivas go around collecting money. So Chemda could be called a Zona, meaning if you misuse it, it's like prostitution. But at least it has a makom in Judaism. That's why it's called the Zaina. Taiva, just for the sake of indulging Taiva, the Gra says, has no makom klal. Now the emphasis is, the Bali Musar actually have a kasha on the Gra. They really don't understand this Gra. It's a bit of a schwer point the Gra is making. Because mimanavshach, Chemda is no good unless you're doing it for the right purpose. So you're telling me it's okay because you're doing it for the right purpose. Well, the indulgence of Taiva is also okay if you're doing it for the right purpose. A person's eating L'shem Shemayim, a person's eating to have strength, etc. Meaning, it's not so boror why the Gra says Taiva is like totally bad and Chemda is okay because you're doing it, because you can do it for the right purpose. Well, Taiva similarly can be done for the right purpose. So it's hard to know. Maybe the Gra felt that Taiva was a stronger Yetzer Hara, and one has to be more careful. In other words, the Gra writes elsewhere that to kind of give yourself Taiva l'shem Shemayim, he said, is a bit of a dangerous opening. It can open you up to different things. Maybe Chemda is more containable, but truth is, the Bali Moshe do say it's a difficult chiluk that the Gra makes. But given his distinction between Chemda and Taiva, so he says like this. So Zaina is the personification of the negative mida of chemda, power, acquisition, etc., using your energy aggressively to get things. And nochriya is the indolence, the laziness, the inertia of taiva. So now he says, now we understand why we use contrasting imageries of Gehenna, right? Because Shucha Amuka is one description of Gehenna, the deep pit, and Be'er Tzara, a narrow well, is another description. Because he says like this, he says, the dominant push for the Midah of Chemda is Gaiva and control. It comes from Gasus Ruach. I have to be rich, right? That's why a person wants billion, etc. It's not so much for physical taivas. Your taivas, after the first million or the first billion, certainly, are not going to be more indulgible. Meaning to say, if you have $1 billion, your desire for $2 billion is not because you will have more taivas you can indulge. At some point, you really run out. You really do run out of taivas you can indulge. Elamai, it's the power of being better than somebody else. So, chemda comes from gasus haruach. It doesn't come from taiva per se. Taiva is lazy. Taiva is the guy in the trailer park, you know, who Dafka doesn't want to work, you know, he wants to stay at home and be on welfare or whatever it is. That's taiva. Chemda is power in the world. So he says, since chemda is connected to gasus haruach, so the onesh in Gehenna is exactly the opposite. You're pushed lower and lower. Shucha amuka. Gasas haruach is, I want to be high and mighty. The onesh is, a person will have a sense in Gehenna, we don't know exactly what that is, of being lowly and insignificant. That is why you use shucha amuka, because that's the opposite of gasas ruach. Mashpil geyim, as we say in davening. Mashpil geyim. Hashem lowers those who are high. Now, with respect to taiva, we find, in fact, Pirkei Avos calls a Baal Gaiva is Ruach Gavoa. Ruach Gavoa, the onus is going to be Shucha Amuka. Now, a Baal Taiva is called Nefesh Rechava. For various reasons, Chazal described taiva in horizontal terms. Nefesh Rechava, Nefesh who wants to take everything in. Right, that's called the Baal Taiva. So Ruach Gavoa, right, for whatever reason, Gaiva is portrayed vertically, and Taiva is portrayed horizontally. The Mela, the Gehenna, is going to be the opposite. For the Baal Gaiva, which is Chemda, Shucha Amuka, and for the Baal Taiva, Be'er Tzora. Again, what that means, we're not really sure, but there'll be this tremendous sense of your desires not being fulfilled. Oh, in other words, it's an amazing imagery. We don't know exactly what goes on in Gehenna, but what is being described here is this idea that just like a Baal Taiva has such a need for these physical pleasures, the Gehenna will be, he will have the need for these pleasures and no way to satisfy them. That's the Gehenna. That's the Be'er Tzara, which is the opposite of the Nefesh Rechava. Okay, so you see how the Gra takes the difference between Shucha Amuka and Be'er Tzara and the difference between Zaina and Nachriya, and that's connected to Chemda and Taiva. But as I say, Alibi Diemes, the ultimate Hesper here is not so simple to understand. In other words, the Gra condemns Taiva much more than Chemda, and again, I see the Bali Musher actually has a bit of a Tzarechian. Because none of Shech, if it's not for the right motive, they're both bad, and then if it is for the right motive, they both potentially can be good. Okay. And then the next pasuk goes on, and the he, it's interesting. He is singular. Now, if, as the Gra explained, we're talking about two different women. See, it's interesting. The pasuk itself is mashra that maybe it's just talking about the same woman in different guises. But once again, it's not really a problem because ultimately it is the same woman called the Yetzer Hara, meaning the Yetzer Hara sometimes comes as a Zayna and gets you through the Midah of Chemda. And then sometimes comes to you as a Nochriya and gets you in the Midah Ra of Taiva. But it's the same Koach, actually, right? The Koach is the koach of Ra in the world, right? So it's like the woman of a thousand faces or a thousand costumes. And that is why, indeed, therefore, the next pasuk can refer to her in the singular, although we describe two different kochos. He kechesef te'erov. Now, the word te'erov is wait in ambush. Now, what is kechesef? It's an unusual word, chesef. This is not a common ches, not kesef, right? Ches, tuf, pei. Not a common word. The Gra connects it. Other Rishayim do it as well. They connect this to an example between a tes and a tuf being interchangeable. Here it says chesef, but suf and tuf are the same letter. So therefore, a suf is sometimes a makom tes. And if you have ches, tes, pei, chatof, lachtof is to grab. So the Rishayim say chesef can also mean grab, although it's an unusual spelling with a, because chatof is spelled with a tof, here it's with a suf, but it means to grab. And therefore, kechesef te'erov, she waits in ambush like a grabber. So chesef is a noun. Like a kidnapper, meaning to say you're walking by, she's waiting to pounce on you, like a kidnapper. Ubogdim biadam tosif. And she, tosif is she, will add treacherous people among, or people who are traitorous or treacherous among people. So the Gra explains the following. The Gra explains that this is really a pasuk that is referring to environments, because a person normally thinks, okay, I have the Yetzirah within me, I can safely control my Yetzirah, I can put myself in different environments where other people are doing Averas, it's not going to affect me very much. Right? A person says, in fact, a person might even say, I want to test my righteousness, people fool themselves into thinking that they want to grow spiritually. So somebody once said to his father was a Porish who remained separate from Olam Hazeh. So he said to his father, what's the big deal of staying in the Beis Medrash all day and you don't have a Yetzirah? Of course, you know, you have no Nisayon. He says, I'm going to walk in the streets and guard my eyes properly, and that way I'm going to be Shomer Mitzvos and be Kaivesh my Yetzer Hara. So that was the first step. Walk in the street with Shmira Sinai. So then somebody said, what's the big deal? You don't have a Yetzer Hara because you're guarding your eyes. Of course you don't have a Yetzer Hara. You're not seeing anything. The real Messiah is to open your eyes and stare and then not be affected. And then somebody else said, walking in the street, what's that? Everyone's walking, they're just busy. He says, you need to go into a theater. And you close your eyes in the theater, and then you're mispainin, and then you're in a makam tameh. And then somebody says, what's the big deal? You're sitting with your eyes closed in a theater. That's nothing. Open your eyes and look at what's right. So they give us a, that's how you become a tzaddik. But what's happening, of course, is that, you know, it's never going to happen that you're going to be a perfect tzaddik in those environments. So that is the imagery here, that the Yetzer waits in ambush. You think you're pure. You think you're good. You think you won't be nishal. You think that nisyonos don't apply to me. It's like you're walking down the street and some mugger or terrorist just grabs you. Kechetef, like a sudden. You didn't even think you were, you know, you were in the league to fall nishal to Averis. You know, it's interesting. I think I may have said this thought before that, you know, on Yom Kippur, the Kriya Satayra of Yom Kippur morning is quite logically Parshas Acharei Mos, which is the Avodah of Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Avodah of Yom Kippur. Now, what is the Kriya Satayra of Mincha of Yom Kippur? It's the same Parsha. And right after the Avodah of Yom Kippur, we read the Parsha of Arayas. Arayas. Don't commit adultery. Don't be Sheichet with the Behemah. So the chayitz of matnasach, you know, Yom Kippur, it's almost offensive, you know. I mean, Yom Kippur, you know, we're inspired, we've grown. It's not mincha time, you know. We've gone through a whole day of tshuva, so maybe, you know. So let's talk about Moshe. Let's talk about Avas Hashem. Let's talk about Yiras Hashem. Let's talk about how we grow as B'nai Torah. I have to hear, don't commit adultery, don't be a homosexual, don't be sheikhe with the behemoth. I mean, aren't I on a higher madrega than that? Am I going to go out right after Yom Kippur and be sheikhe in behemoth? Why do I need to hear any of this? And of course, you can even ask Akasha on the Torah itself. Why, after the Avodah of Yom Kippur, does it tell me Gilui Arayas? Gilui Arayas are for Pachusim. These are for Nolai, people, low lives. They're not for, they're not the Nisayon that a regular person or certainly a Ben Aliyah faces. So the emesis, a summary Shainim, give a simple reason, at least for the Kriyas HaTorah. They say, Yom Kippur, it's a little funny in itself. Yom Kippur, a lot of women go to shul. They don't want to go. So therefore, a person has to be careful. But davka Yom Kippur, a person gets distracted. Remember, Yom Kippur, in fact, indeed, was one of the days that Chazal set aside for saints. It's an amazing thing, right? 15th of Av and Yom Kippur to meet your shidduch. So for charity, so you need the shmira. But one might say, the Balei Musar say a little different. The Balei Musar say that this is really a reminder not to be misgoya and not to be overconfident in the madregos that we think we've achieved. We think that once you become a person of a higher madrega, you're not capable of the lower averes, and you don't have to be careful about them anymore. A person might say, I'm not going to be nichshol b'yeshes ish. I'm not going to be nichshol in arayas. I'm beyond that. I mean, a good one. Maybe I'll be nichshol in lashon hara. I'll be nichshol in harder or higher averos that are hard to keep. But I'm not going to eat treif. I'm not going to be over gili arayas. So Chazal say no. Chazal say, al tamin b'yatzmacha ad yayim meisecha. Don't fully believe in yourself, meaning each of us could fail. When David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me a test, I've passed, I've purified myself, Hashem shows him Bat Sheva the next day. That David HaMelech should not have assumed he could pass the test. That's why we daven every day. Al tivieni lo lidei nisayon. Do not, we ask Hashem, do not give me, if we're given a nisayon, we have to try to pass it, for sure. But we ask Hashem not to give us any sign, because we're never sure. And that's what the Pasuk is saying over here. The person thinks, oh, I've reached the high madrega. But the Yetzer Hara is like someone waiting in a sudden ambush. You think you're so safe. We think we're so safe. We think nothing's going to happen. And all of a sudden, something jumps out. Right? And that's what it says. Now, then he gives an opposite idea. What does it mean? Baigdim b'yadim taisif. She adds Baigdim. So the simple meaning, the Gemara has a very unusual meaning here. The simple meaning is it could take a good person and make him a bogate, make him someone who's treacherous against Hashem. In other words, it adds traitors to the list. New traitors are picked up. But the Gemara says something else. The Gemara actually says a very interesting thing, that it's dealing with somebody who's already not so frum. In other words, a not-so-firm person might argue that the Yetzer Hara is not really interested in me, because I'm already kind of part of the army there. And there's, so if I put myself in situations that are, let's say, worse than I normally do, it's not going to affect me so much. Meaning the Yetzer Hara looks for Talmidei Chachamim, it looks for good targets. So the Pasuk is saying, no, the Yetzer Hara is willing to take everybody, meaning even if you're already pretty bad, you can get worse. Meaning don't think the Yetzer Hara thinks he's gotten you already and will only go with more chashuva people. He says, nope, even if you're already pretty bad, this will make you worse. That's what it says. It'll make a person more of a bogate. And that's an interesting chiddush. Okay. All right, now, the next few psukim are actually a big unit. All the way from to the end of the perek, from pasuk chaf tes to pasuk lamed hay, right, six psukim, and it's very interesting. It is a shmooze against drunkenness. Well, now we'll have to see exactly what the symbolic meaning would be, and it just tells people beware of the dangers of excessive consumption of alcohol. Again, Lefi Pshuto, this is 100% valid, but again, there'll be deeper meanings for it as well. So let's just read the psukim as a unit, and then we'll go back. Lami oi, lami avoi. Right? So oi and avoi is like oi ve. In fact, oi ve, ve is probably a contraction of avoi. Right? The Hebrew is oi avoi. It becomes oi ve in Yiddish. So, to whom shall people shout, oi, alas? To whom, lami, to whom shall people say, ve, oi ve? Lami mijanim, to whom shall there be quarrels? Mijanim is meriva. Lami siach, to whom will people be talking in derision? Siach here is, you know, behind his back, they'll be saying, again, it may or may not be Lashon Hara, but Lamaisa, people are going to say bad things. Lami pitsayim chinam, to whom shall there be bruises for no reason, meaning injuries? Again, we'll see this means, number one, as he's staggering around, you know, he could hurt himself. And number two, people could beat him. A mugger, you know, for a lot of ways. A guy's an alcoholic with money in his pocket, so people will knock him over the head. And bechlal, people will be mavasa him. And lami chachlilo seinayim, to whom shall there be redness of the eyes? Who are we describing? And the answer is, lema'achrim al hayayin, to those who stay up late drinking wine. And leba'im, so ba'im is interpreted to those who get up early, lachkor mimsach, lachkor, to investigate, to look for mimsach, strong drink. Again, we'll see the repetition of it. And then it goes on, and it says, this is actually a famous pasuk that is used in halacha, Al teire yayin ki yisadam ki yitain v'kos eino yisalech meisham. So actually, it's interesting that this is a pasuk that is quoted a lot in for Hilchos Kiddush and for Dalet Kaisais. You will note that the halacha says that l'chatchila, the best wine to use is red wine. Again, there's a machlokes if the yayin lovin is meshubach, but certainly if both wines are equally good. So there is a kedima in Hilchos Kiddush to use red wine. For Dalet Kaisis, there's the special union of red wine because of the Zecher L'dam, but even for Kiddush or for any Kaisho Bracha. Now it is common at Chasanis, under the Chuppah, it's common they use white wine because of the, you know, they don't want the college dress to get stained or whatever. So it's a white wine, it's less of a stain. All right, so that's a shiko. But even then, I'll leave it the emes, red wine is better to be used. And the makor of that is a pasuk in Mishnah. You'll see the Mishnah Berurah. He says, Al tirei, in other words, don't look at wine because it is red. Now, what does the pasuk mean in context, though? Very, very, very rarely do people look up the pasuk. So the pasuk is basically warning the person, do not be attracted by the beauty of wine. Wine is very pretty, right? The ruby red color. Now, what a beautiful color. So it says, Al tirei yayin ki yisadim. Do not stare at the wine because of its redness. Meaning, get yourself away from it. Yeah, the mitzvah is good, but in terms of shichris, it's no good. Ki tein b'kais einai yishalech b'mei sharim. In other words, this is what you shouldn't think. Don't think that the redness of wine and looking at the cup will enable you to walk in the straight way. Again, the Gemara will explain all of this, but don't think this will improve your life. This will not improve your life. Acharisa, the end result, kenachash yishach, it will bite you like a snake. V'chitzefoni yafrish, and like a scorpion yafrish, it will separate you from meaningful life. Einecha yiru zaros. Your eyes will see strange things. You will hallucinate. You will be seeing things that aren't there. Belibcha yedaber tapuchas. And your heart will cause you to articulate contradictory thoughts, jumbled thoughts. Vayisa kesheche belev yam. You will be like a person that is trying to sleep in the middle of the sea. Now, this is, some people have water beds. Water beds used to be popular, I don't know, but they're very, very, you know, some people like it, but, you know, you're just like rolling on the ocean, you know, you can't really find anything. And even worse, kishochev b'rosh chibel. Rosh chibel is the top of a mast, right? If you look at the old sail ships, so you have a tall mast, and on top of the mast you have a lookout guy, etc. Now the mast is the most shaky part of the ship because it's high and it rolls around. So you will be like a person that is sleeping on top of the mast of a storm-tossed ship, and yet you will be clueless. This is now a quote that the person says. Hikuni, you have hit me, Baal Chalisi. I didn't get sick from it. Doesn't bother me. Halamuni, you can smash me, Baal Yadati, I don't even know. The only thing I think about is Masai Okits. When will I get out of my stupor? Isif Avakshenu Od, so I can go and get more wine. The person is lying in the filth and lying in the mud. And people are hitting him and they're spitting him and spitting at him and they're kicking him. And he doesn't care. He just says, when will I get over this hangover so I can get drunk again? This is Ad Kedei Kach, the addiction. Just in this point, the Gra brings a medrash. I'll go back and go over how the Gra explains these psukim generally. But he actually brings a medrash. The medrash is a medrash Tanchuma. Maisa b'yachat chayoviv shikr. A person, unfortunately, had a father that was a shikr, a drunk. Pam ra haben shikr echad shoche b'chutz alaretz b'rov shikrusa. Once the son saw another man who was drunk, who was rolling in the mud because of his shikrus. Hakol makinosa, people were hitting him. I assume this means people were kicking him as they were walking by. Af yischaku v'yelagu alav, and they were laughing and making fun of him. So the son thought, this might be what they call a teachable moment. Maybe I'll show my father what this is, then he'll get disgusted with getting drunk when my father is sober. V'cheros haben oso ha-shikr, this is the Medrash Tanchuma. When the son saw the shikr, halach ve'hevi aviv, he brought his father, v'chdei she'yazov shikruso, that the father will see how disgusting this is. The father will never want to be a shikr again. She'yir ezeh ha-shikr ha-magunem, this disgusting shikr, misgeilel bi'ofer v'tit, he's rolling in the dirt, in the mud, hikol b'nei adam arbeh. So, kasher bo aviv, when the father came, and the father sees this disgusting scene, and again, we could probably add the vomits and other things that it says, hirkin atzmai l'shikar ha-sheichev, he bent over the drunk man, v'sho'alo, and he asked him, what is that good stuff that helps you become so drunk? Ayei ha-mashke asher shasisa, what is the mashke, what is the whiskey? B'tishker mimenu kacha, that got you so drunk. You have good stuff. You have better stuff than me. Emor li gamkein v'yeshte l'shaker es atzmi gamkein kamocha. I want to drink it. So the son's experiment fails a little bit. So amar li b'nai. So the son said to his father, well, you know, Dad, I didn't bring you over for this. V'chi b'shvil zeh haviyosicha heina. Did I bring you here for that? Simenecha, look, urei godel ganuza, see how despicable it is. Asher yaku hakol, everyone's hitting him. Amar lai, so the father says to the son, bini teida, you should know, gam elu hakais topos lo ma'ait. I would be happy to get, in other words, if I could get a drink like this, all of it is worth it. I don't mind being hit. I don't mind being kicked. He says, for the joy of the drink, everything would be. And that's exactly what the pasuk is saying. Now, the truth of the matter is, that's not... the medrash is not meant to be taken exactly literally, because that's not exactly the way it is. Normally, when the person is sober, he would have a disgust. But the point basically is, it's ki'ilu he wants to keep on doing this because he knows that's what's going to happen. Meaning, the person might be momentarily disgusted, But then the taiva becomes so great that he cannot control himself. So it's as if he says, I don't mind being hit, I don't mind being spat upon, I don't mind the vomit or anything else. Now here, the Gra has a few points really. The Gra says...
That
might as well as
a Midrash.
Huh? That's a Midrash. Midrash Tav Chumah. Which is really exactly what the Pasuk is saying. The Pasuk is saying, hit me, I don't care. All I want to do is get up again so I can do this again. The truth of the matter is, what do they say? They say the definition of an idiot or a shaita is somebody who does the same thing over and over again expecting to get different results. And the truth of the matter is, although the Gra does not go with this malach, the truth of the matter is that shichras is a metaphor really for all averus. For all averus. Because Chazal say in Maseches Sota that nobody will ever do an avera, any avera, unless momentarily there's a ruach shtus, a spirit of insanity, a kind of drunkenness that takes over. Because in reality, averus make no sense whatsoever. Because if you're a maimon in Hashem, here's the thing. Shostander pointed out, it has to be by definition that the onesh for any avera has to be a lot worse than any conceivable benefit you get from an avera. Because if the benefit of an avera would be greater than the onesh, then why not do the avera? So if Hashem creates a system where there's yiras ha'onesh is supposed to dissuade me, then by definition, it has to be a lot worse than the pleasure. So no matter how big your pleasure is, the pain is going to be much, much worse. Same thing for a mitzvah. A mitzvah may be inconvenient, right? A mitzvah may be hard to do. It may be a tircha. I don't want to be much riach myself. But by definition, the reward must be much, much, much greater. So, an irrational calculus of self-interest, which is not, that should not be our motive, but it is the lowest motivator. The lowest motivator of trying to avoid pain and maximize pleasure, which is shalol lishma, yiras ha'onesh. In avera makes no sense. It makes no sense. Because you're always going to come out worse because of it, in terms of pain and in terms of pleasure. Elamai, a person has a ruach shtus. When a person has a ruach shtus, like a person takes drugs, a person takes alcohol, you know, they know on some level this is going to hurt them. But at this moment, this is what they have to have. So really, the notion of drunkenness is not only referring to being an alcoholic, although obviously it's talking about that too, but it refers to the ruach shtus of a person not thinking about what is happening to them. If they think about what's happening to them, then they just wouldn't make these decisions. It makes no sense. Did you want to say anything?
Yeah. Abraham Avinu had the mitzvah to take his son and put him on the altar.
Yeah.
What reward could Hashem possibly give him to make it worthwhile?
First of all, Lemaisa, he didn't slaughter Yitzchak, but if that would have been the mitzvah, so there's Olam Haba, meaning there is Olam Haba, meaning the Olam Haba, 1 second of Olam Haba is greater than all of the pleasures of Olam Hazeh, and the Svarim explain, all of the pleasures means, if you take all of the pleasures that every single human being ever had from the beginning of creation till the end, that's what it means. 1 second of Olam Haba is greater than all of the pleasure of the entire human race that ever existed and will exist till the world ends. So that would have been it. So in one way, this whole kapitel here, this whole section is referring to the ruach shtus, in which averus are called a ruach shtus. Ruach shtus is a shikar. A shikar is the prototype of the person who doesn't think clearly. I just don't think clearly. Now, in some ways, that is actually a source of Hashem's rachamim. That actually creates a certain leniency in the din, Because Hashem basically says, hey, you know, you were drunk when you were drunk. You know, you weren't thinking properly. No, Mimela, maybe there's a little bit of rachamim based on that. But here, the Gra says the following. Well, a lot of the Gra is really technical. He doesn't really necessarily give us a lot of new meanings to this, but he just explains some repetition. He points out that we have six expressions of Lami. Lami oi, Lami avoi. Lami midyanim, Lami siach. Lami pitzayim chinam, Lami chachli l'sinam. There are six. So he wants to divide it up into three groups of two expressions each. And he simply says that when there's a shikr, there are going to be three groups of people who might be involved in this shikr's life. There will be B'nai Beso, there will be his immediate family, then there will be Karevav, his relatives, let's say his parents, his cousins, and then there'll be strangers who are not involved. So he says, oy vi avoy, oy vey, again he doesn't explain why you have two for each, but the oy vey is really going to be the feeling of the family. And because the oy vey is not only what's happening to him, but what's happening to us. Because number one, if he's an alcoholic, he's not going to support his family. So it's like we can say on ourselves, oy vey, we literally don't have money in the house, we don't have parnasa, he's using all of the money. This is a true problem in alcoholics sometimes, that literally there is no money for food because it is all being used for alcohol. And of course, he's not able to work, so he's not going to bring in money. So the oy v'avoy is the cry of the family that is left bereft. I would also add to the cry that it also means being bereft of an emotional support, that he's not connected to them. Now, lami midyanim lami siach, quarrels and conversation will be the larger family, right? The larger family will be thinking about how do we correct this situation, right? There is, you know, what they have in the addiction community, they have what is called an intervention. Have you heard of this concept of intervention? This is where if somebody, let's say somebody is an alcoholic or an addict, but, you know, he thinks he's still functioning, he's going to work, you know, whatever it is, going to work, but things are kind of falling apart, but he hasn't acknowledged. So at some point, extended family and friends have a meeting in which they kind of tell the guy, you know, you are an alcoholic, you need help, type of thing. There's a certain confrontation which forces the person to be makir, his situation. A very emotional type of thing. So that's the midyanim and the siach, is what the mishpacha, the extended mishpacha, is going to do. And pitzayim chinam are the strangers who don't care about him. They'll just kick him in the street and kind of make fun of his reddened eyes. Right, so that's just simply the three different groups. He then has a nice diuk on what is ma'achrim alayayin. Ma'achrim alayayin means late at night you drink wine. And what is the laboyim? So he makes the point, he says the following. He says, wine, again, he has a whole disquisition on drunkenness here. I don't want to say, you know, maybe some guys might be a bigger bucky than the grandest. I don't know. Maybe this is the one that people say, is there anything in Torah that, you know, that I have a better understanding of? You know, maybe this might be it. But he says the following. He says, probably not even under, but he says that wine takes a long time to get drunk. You don't get drunk quickly on wine. Wine has a lower alcoholic content. Right? So therefore he says, when you get up in the morning and you got to go to work, but you need to drink before you go to work, wine is not going to help you. You're not going to get your high with wine. So wine is what you drink when you get home at night and you have the whole night. So that's why for Yayin, ma'achrim, late at night I sit and drink wine and I can get drunk. But in the morning, I need a quicker fixer. I need something, he says, I need something that is mimsach. Mimsach is very, it's still wine. The garage is not talking about whiskey here, but it's very strong wine. And for that, lachkor, you have to look for it. Lachkor meaning, that's the difference. And he points out another pasuk that makes the same point. He points out in Yeshayahu, It says, Mashkime Boker Shecher Yerdofer. It's talking about how many of the Jewish people were excessively consuming alcohol. So in the morning, they look for Shecher. Shecher here, the Gemara says, means very strong wine. But Me'achere Baneshef, and late at night, Yayin. Right? So it's exactly the same thing. But the one point that he does make is this. I mean, so again, this is just explaining the physiology, so to speak, of drunkenness. But he does make an interesting point, which is not really based on a pasuk here, but it's a continuation of the discussion in Yeshayahu, when it talks about those who get up early to drink shechor, and those who go late at night drinking yayin. So the parody, so to speak, is continued in Yeshayahu. Giborim lishtos yayin. They are giborim, strong in their drinking of the wine. V'anshe chayo, and men of valor, limsoch shechar, to find their intoxicating drink. So here the Gra describes what is a gibor and what is an ish chayo. Now again, those words don't even appear here, but the Gra is addressing it because by association, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu condemns the ones who drink, he uses, oh, you're a gibor to drink your wine, and you're an anshei chayel to drink your shecher, meaning you take a good attribute and you pervert it and you misuse it for something bad. So it's important to know what is a gibor and what is an ish chayel. So he says like this. He says a gibor is literally somebody who has strong yetzer haras to do things, but he conquers his yetzer hara. And that's what Pirkei Avos says, Mamish, Eizeu Gibor HaKovesh Es Yitzrei. So a Gibor is someone, and it's almost like a physical, act. I have a tremendous taiva to do something and I just pull myself back. No. That was Yosef with Eishes Potiphar this week in today's Parsha. He pulled himself back. And you see how hard it was, because in point of fact, there was some Zera that came out. But Yosef pulled himself back. Anshei Chayel is a different madrega. Anshei Chayel is a person who only focuses on serving Hashem and he doesn't let other things even affect him. Now the way the Gra describes it, he says, let me find the lashon here, Gibayrim ar amitzei koach Anshei Chayel Abire Lev. Now this needs a little more explanation than the Gra gives it. But Giborim are mighty of strength, and Anshei Chayel are strong of the heart. Now the difference is the Gibor has genuine desires for these Averos, and he just conquers it. Abire Lev doesn't even allow his emotions to go in that direction. And he gives an example. He says, Abirei Lev have Shleimus HaBitachon. They have full trust in Hashem. And they learn Torah and Yom and Velayla. Av Shebebeso Ein Lechem Besimla. Even if in his home there is no bread or clothing, and his children and family are crying to him, but the Vilna Gaon says, and again, this is being portrayed as a high madrega. He doesn't let that, of course he fulfills his responsibility, but he doesn't let it emotionally take away from his concentration in Avodas Hashem. In other words, the Gibor is the person who has the Yetzer Hara and he simply physically restrains himself. The Abirei Lev means he's changed his whole mental orientation. So based on that, so therefore, these are two positive spiritual levels, right? One is the strength of not giving into the HR, and the other is focus, not allowing yourself to be distracted. So he says that I use Gibor about the wine drinker, because the wine drinker has to drink quite a lot of wine to get drunk, and therefore he's showing Gevurah. He's physically strong enough to keep on drinking, because he has to go on for a long time. And he says the other way around, The guy who, before he goes to work and make a living, is still determined to find that single malt scotch to get him drunk. So in a parody way, he's really showing his fixation on this, that even though he's going to lose his job and lose his money, he doesn't, right? And he's going to remember, Abire Lev meant the person who says, oh, I don't care if I don't have any money, I'm just going to serve Hashem. Well, this guy's saying the same thing. I don't care if I lose my job, I just have to have the scotch. So that's a certain Abire Lev, right, so to speak. That is the Abire Lev. Okay, all right. But again, I mean, so I guess the point basically is that a person can take qualities that are actually positive and beneficial in the service of Hashem, and they can pervert them to the most base types of behaviors. Okay, so that's the idea here of the drunkenness. But as I say, it is really a remez to ruach shtus overall. That all averus come from the ruach of shtus that a person has. That from a logical calculus, averus do not make sense at all. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. So as we finish the parak, and next week we'll do a new parak. Yep.
Are we having a shir next week?
Yeah, I think so. Next week is the last night of Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, if people want, unless you're going away. Is next Shabbos an off Shabbos? No.
The whole Hanukkah is like half a day off.
Yeah, okay. All right.